This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Well, we're talking about the Tyreek Hill to the Dolphins deal, and the Jets were very much involved. So let's bring in our own general manager, Mike Tannenbaum. Ironically enough, the GM of the Dolphins and the Jets at one point, so he has an inside view of this. Mike, hope you're doing well. It's Michael, Don, and Peter. How are you?
Great to be with you guys. I'm honored to be with you, Mike, in the middle of spring training and the hot stove league.
You know what? There's no better time to talk to you when it's 90 degrees out and the sun is shining. It just brings a smile on my face.
We enjoy speaking with you.
We do like talking to you.
I'll be honest. All the other shows do it out of obligation. We do it out of love.
There you go. All right. So I want to look at all three of us want to look at this from three parts. So Kansas City, how tough is it to give away such a dynamic performer simply because of money constraints?
Well, I think when you think about, the great Andy Reid and what he's done in his career, if you go back to those great Eagle teams, of course they had Deshaun Jackson here and there, Terrell Owens, but they also won a lot of games with guys that we wouldn't even think of, like James Thrash and Todd Pinkston. So if I'm them, I'm thinking, well, I got Smith-Schuster, I got Hardman, and you know what? I'm going to be able to go get a receiver because now I got, when you look at it, I got 29, 30, and 50. So I have three picks in the top 50 in a draft that's loaded with receiver. So I should be able to replace him maybe 80 to 90% of what Hill was.
Now, from the Jets' perspective, Mike, is there any way that they could have known Hill's interest? Or did they know he wouldn't come here but just still made the offer anyway?
Well, we'll really never know all the details. I mean, the fact that they got far down the road and got an agreement in principle and not give up either of those two top 10 picks, you got to give a lot of credit to Joe Douglas for that. Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of the contract, I would say this, same applies to the Jets guys. Like this draft, like I'll give you a great name, Jameson Williams. If he was healthy, he could be Tyreek Hill. He's that good. He tore his ACL. I don't know if he makes it to the second round now, but maybe there's some way that the Jets come away with him or Chris Olave. There's a lot of receivers in this draft. And when you think about the resource allocation, maybe sometimes the best deals are the ones you don't get done. We'll see. But Tyreek Hill, I don't mean to minimize it. He is a great difference-making dynamic receiver.
I'm not very bright, Mike. Can you just explain to me the circumstance around this trade? Was it simply did Tyreek have the choice? Or were the Chiefs being deferential to him, and they felt both deals were equal?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. Like, when you're a situation when you're under contract like that, there's sort of like a de facto no trade clause, which is he's not going to show up and report unless he gets a contract he likes. So this is one. It's not unlike Deshaun Watson, where there had to be two agreements, and this happens all the time, these guys. Where, for example, the Jets could have made the trade. But it was smart for them not to make the trade without the extension because now all they're acquiring is a headache. And we've seen teams make that mistake before, most notably Laramie Tunsil in Houston, where Houston gave up multiple first-round picks, ironically, to the Dolphins, didn't get a deal done, and then paid an exorbitant premium to sign Laramie to an extension. So I think in this situation, if you don't get both deals done, you don't do it at all. And I think from the Jets' standpoint, that was smart.
No, we're talking with Mike Tannenbaum. Mike, what I'm noticing with all of these deals, there's a lot of guaranteed money, lots. And I have a fear in a hard cap sport, when people with guaranteed money get hurt, your team is just ravaged. How do they get out from under it? Do you think that, NFL teams now are teetering on disaster by guaranteeing so much money?
I'm so glad that you brought that up. I was talking about that on ESPN where, look, and we should still pay a lot of attention to the 22 civil allegations against Deshaun Watson. But I made the same point. So Deshaun Watson missed three games in college with a finger problem. He tore his ACL on a non-contact play in the NFL. And the number one sort of predictor of future injury is past injuries. And if I'm Cleveland, beyond a very serious issue related to alleged allegations with those women, to guarantee, guys, just think about this. The entire salary cap is $208 million, and they guarantee $230 million. That would scare me to death, Mike. I agree with you 1,000%.
Now, you mentioned Joe Douglas did a good job being aggressive. Does that just underline, Mike, how you've got to make these moves before you have to pay your quarterback? Because once you pay your quarterback, you're probably cutting guys before signing guys.
So, Don, that's such a good point. You know, here's something that's really interesting. If you look at the NFL right now, the highest paid wide receivers are all tied to quarterbacks on rookie deals. So, obviously, now you have Tua with Tyreek Hill. You have DeAndre Hopkins with with Kyler Murray. And then after that, it kind of goes down to Mike Williams / Keenan Allen. Point being is Justin Herbert's on a rookie deal. So I don't think that's a coincidence, guys, that you're seeing those two things tied together. And your windows open and close very, very quickly. And when you look at the Dolphins and the Cardinals and the Chargers, that's an example of it. The one other player up there is Devontae Adams. But I think we can all agree that right now, you know, Derek Carr is paid way below market. And it just illustrates the one outlier in all this is Tom Brady, who makes $25 million a
year. Now, you know, you obviously ran teams in both states. And I mentioned this before you came on. It's always been what I think patently unfair. If you're a Florida team, you offer $100 million. And you're a New Jersey, New York team, and you offer $100 million. Your $100 million is worth far less than the $100 million in Florida. Should the NFL deal with that inequity somehow?
I think so. And I always used to say when I was with the Dolphins, Mike, that shame on us if we don't bring that up on every conversation with every agent every single time. Now, with that said, the Jets have an incredible facility in Florham Park. There's a lot of unique things about being in the metropolitan area. When you win in New York, you walk forever. You know, ask Derek Jeter, ask Bill Parcells, ask Phil Sims what it's like to be a champion, Mark Messier. There's no place like being in the biggest market with the biggest sport in the world. And while we didn't win a championship, we got to a bunch of championship games over 15 years, and I can tell you how special that was. So even though it's more expensive to play in New York, if I had my Jet hat on, I would tell you that it's worth it. If I had my Dolphin hat on, I'd be talking about weather, sunshine, and no state income tax.
And I'll tell you what, Dan Marino never won a championship. He doesn't pay for a meal in Miami.
That's totally fair. I don't think Dan paid for anything at Pittsburgh. I think he took a pay cut when he went from Pittsburgh to Miami.
That's probably true.
All right, so Joe Douglas showed you he's willing to make the big splash, Mike. Is there anything else out there, or is he going to have to wait until maybe next free agency to get this kind of caliber player?
Oh, I think there's one obvious one out there, guys, and it's ironically the same team that he made the big trade for Jamal Adams. It's DK Metcalf. Clearly, Seattle's in a rebuild. They have the 9th pick, and I think they have to sit there and say, do we take Kenny Pickett or do we stay with Drew Lock? But if I'm Joe Douglas and I was going to give up a lot for Tyreek Hill, I really think strongly about DK Metcalf because while he may not be as fast as Tyreek Hill, he's bigger and stronger and way more physical. So he is a bona fide number one who's young, ascending, and he'd be the guy that if we were building a team, you can make an argument, hey, do we want him over Devontae Adams because of his age? Now, Tyreek Hill is, you know, truly unique because he's so fast, but Metcalf's a guy I would definitely look at.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, while we have you on, I want to ask you about musical chairs. We've all been there as kids. The music stops. There's no chair left. And I think that that might happen with Baker Mayfield. Where's Baker Mayfield going? What are the options for the Browns here?
Yeah, it's a great life lesson for all of us. You know, when you think about Tyrod Taylor had a lung punctured, we think about Jimmy Garoppolo getting basically, you know, taking a team to the Super Bowl and then Trey Lance getting acquired there. You think about what happened with Matt Ryan. None of those quarterbacks said anything on social media, and there's a reason they're still beloved in the league and thought really well. You know, there's a really high opinion of those quarterbacks. Baker Mayfield, a week ago, just when Andrew Berry, their GM, looked into Deshaun Watson, went out on social media and said, I'm out of here. And candidly, Andrew Berry was just doing his job as his GM to investigate Deshaun Watson. Obviously, it worked out. Point being, guys, this is a self-inflicted wound. You know, Coach Parcells, if he was on right now, he would talk about with a quarterback, you want a battlefield commander. That's not what Baker Mayfield is. Baker Mayfield is playing, you know, the victim here and being woe's me. Guy's guaranteed $18 million this year. He should take the high road, be quiet, and see what happens. It's not by coincidence, Mike, that the music's stopping and nobody wants him because nobody wants an $18 million headache.
You mentioned Tyrod Taylor. He's now a Giant. Is he there to push Jones or possibly take this job away?
I think he's a great safety net. And let's face it, guys. We talked about this all fall. Like, I think one of the things that really hurt Joe Judge at the end is when Daniel Jones got hurt, Mike Glennon, Jay Crum, they were non-competitive. We'll never know, but Joe Judge still may be the head coach of the Giants if Daniel Jones doesn't get hurt and at least shows the right trajectory. So to me, Tyrod Taylor is a great placeholder if Jones gets hurt, but I don't think he's sitting there. I don't think Daboll's sitting there in the Giants office is saying, like, you know, Tyrod Taylor could take us to where we want to go. But I think what he is doing is saying, hey, here's a guy that could go out there, run an NFL offense, and we could still be competent with him.
Right, before I let you go, who won today? The Chiefs, the Jets, or the Dolphins?
You know, I got to say the Chiefs because I think of this year's draft, Mike, is so loaded. I would say this. If the Dolphins had a B-plus or better at quarterback, I would say Miami. But I just don't know. If the four of us were running a team, Tua may be the last quarterback we would take right now of all the AFC quarterbacks. That's just the reality of it. So while they have all these amazing other pieces, I don't think they're going to be able to get to where they want to go with their quarterback. And I think what the Jets did is, you know, they held on to their dry powder. They can live to fight another day, and let's see how it plays out.
Great stuff, Mike. Thanks so much. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
That's Mike Tannenbaum. Interesting stuff from him. So he doesn't think the Jets are hurt as much as, you know, you initially think when they didn't get the guy they went after. In fact, he said sometimes the deals you don't make are the best ones because he thinks this is a loaded wide receiver draft. The Jets have those two first-rounders, the two high second-rounders.
Yeah.
So he thinks that they can get, I don't know if you can get something equal to Tyreek Hill, but you can get a pretty good wide receiver, I guess.
Well, okay, this is my – we can argue about this all day, and in fact, I'll enjoy it. I would argue you cannot get Tyreek Hill. You know how I know? I've literally never seen him before. So, like, there are other people we could put in a category of being like, oh, this guy's like this guy. He's pretty good. He'll get the job done. He's a great number two. He's a number one. He's solid. I just get frustrated when we talk about, like, oh, just go to the draft, as if these guys – and what's the guarantee you get it right? And where's the big proof that they do get it right?
You're right. I guess what he's saying, too, that you don't have to spend that much money on one of the wide receivers in the draft, and, you know, you got essentially $120 million guaranteed on a wide receiver. Wide receiver market has exploded.
Yeah, it's really getting out of hand. And there's also a lot of other factors, too. You know, let's not ignore the fact that Hill's 28. You know, so, obviously, are you going to get a lot out of him in the final couple of years of that deal when he's north of 30? When you start to, especially a guy whose game is predicated on speed, right, Peter? Is he going to be as fast and dynamic at 30, 31 at the end of this deal as he will be this year? And if everything clicks this year, it's not like Miami's going to win a Super Bowl with him in the first couple of years. So I don't – listen, I if I'm the Jets, I'm disappointed today. But you still have all this draft capital. But, Michael, to Peter's point is you don't know what that's going to turn out to be. You're hoping it turns out to be Hill. And they're going to grow. And as they grow and mature and have their hiccups, you have to then determine, am I going to give Baker Mayfield the money that he's going to want in a couple of years? So there's good and bad with it, but I would have taken Hill.
I would have too. I think it makes them exponentially better this year. And you know what Ira said, well, we're better for the future. Well, sometimes the future doesn't come for many. 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you. We'll take your phone calls next right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.